open your Bibles to Acts chapter 26. If you don't have one, there should be one right in front of you, or you can read off one of your neighbors. That would be awesome. I'm glad to see those of y'all who were at the race last night made it up this morning. That's good. See, there's some empty seats from the race last night, and I used to be a racing fan, but the left turns got kind of boring after a while. I know I heard there was a couple people who went to the race for the first time last night, and it's always nice to hear women go to a race for the first time because they said that my husband changes tires really slowly. That's what they got out the race last night. So that was, and that's, hey, I tell you, I don't change tires. That's why I don't do it anymore. So I enjoyed watching the race last night, but I'm glad for you to be here. And as I put on Facebook last night, NASCAR specializes in left turns. We specialize in U-turns by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I am glad that you are here to hear the word of God this morning. And so let's just read. I'm doing the chapter 26. It's a short chapter, only 87 verses, so it will be no time at all through it. Actually, I think it's 32 verses this morning. So let's read the word of God, Acts chapter 26. It said, "So Agrippa said to Paul, 'You have permission to speak for yourself.' Then Paul stretched out his hand and made his defense. 'I consider myself fortunate that it is before you, King Agrippa, I am going to make my defense today against all the accusations of the Jews, especially because you are familiar with all the customs and controversies of the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, spent from the beginning among my own nation and in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They have known for a long time, if they are willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial because of my hope and the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to obtain, as they earnestly worship night and day. And for this hope I am accused by Jews, O king. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. In this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission of the chief priest. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to these things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. To this day, I have said, the help that comes from God, and so I stand here testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles. And as he was saying these things in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind.' But Paul said, 'I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I am speaking truth in rational words. For the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly. For I am persuaded that none of these things had escaped his notice, for this has not been done in the corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. And Agrippa said to Paul, in a short time would you persuade me to be a Christian? And Paul said, whether a short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. Then the king rose, and the governor and Bernice, and those who were sitting with them. And when they had withdrawn, they said to one another, this man is doing nothing to deserve death or imprisonment. And Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, let us pray that you are glorified, you are magnified, you are lifted up high in everything that is done and said throughout this worship service. Lord, may your truths of your word speak through me today. Lord, I pray if someone is here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, may the Holy Spirit just work through their hearts right now. And Lord, may their lives be as changed for eternally today. Lord, we just give this whole service over to you right now. In Jesus' holy and precious name, we praise you. Amen. Just got back from a little mini vacation. Me and my wife were able to go to Myrtle Beach for a few days, and we were enjoying ourselves. That we had. I went to Hardee's. I know that's a shocker on the first day, Thursday morning, and my wife rose with me and went to Hardee's, and we were sitting there, and it was amazing. There was a couple that was right in line beside us, and they go, where are you from? And I guess because it's tourists, I hope I don't look like just a touristy person. But I was sitting there, and he goes, where are you from? And I was like, I'm from Chester, Virginia. And he says, well, let me tell you where to go to church around here. And I thought that was pretty awesome, man. The guy was just being bold right there. And his wife goes, they might not be church-going people. I thought about playing along with him a little bit to see how far he would go and everything, but it was so neat, man, just to see somebody that bold right there in the line at Hardee's, and just to already try to, he goes, let me tell you where to go, and he was trying to get me plugged in to a church, even if I was there for 1 week. And I said, man, this is just an awesome experience, just to see people who are just trying to be obedient, even in the line of Hardee's, even to somebody who was just visiting, and to share the gospel and to get me to go to a church. So it was a blessing to my heart to see, and we sat down and we were able to talk with them, and it was a blessing. And it was a blessing to get away and to spend time with my wife, and she is such a servant-hearted person. She's not here today, so y'all make sure she knows I said that. And she's home with my Rachel, who's sick, and it's a blessing to be able to serve alongside my wife. And it's especially thankful that we're able to serve here at Enon Baptist Church with such a wonderful and loving church family. Y'all really do make it easy because y'all love on us and our family well, and it's a blessing to serve here. I mean, this is just really a wonderful church to serve alongside and be a part of. And if you're new here, you'll learn that this is a loving church, and I am just blessed to be a part of it. And so as we sit here, and I'm just thinking about this sermon, and I was as I was writing it, I was just sitting there pondering about where we started in Acts. We're almost done with the book of Acts, and I know some people have been anticipating that for a while. But as we sat there, this sermon series is called Building God's Church, God's Way. And you look back to why we started this, is I kind of wanted us to really look at how the early church started, because as we see this church grow into what God wants it to be, we should look at how the early church started and how what God intended that to be. And so maybe you weren't here when I first came and we first started going through the book of Acts, but some of y'all might remember I talked about how the basketball team came from the UCLA, Bill Walton. Not Bill Walton, what am I saying with the guy? When he came in and the coach, and he every single first practice, he taught the team how to put on their socks and shoes. Remember that story? And he did so because why? I mean, he had a bunch of All-Americans on his team every single year, but he wanted to make sure that they knew how to put on their socks and shoes so that they didn't get blisters. And they could play all they wanted to, but if they got blisters, they were no good to the team. And so that's what he did every year to start off practice. John Wooden came and he taught his team how to put on socks and shoes. And so that's kind of where we went through the book of Acts. And so we spent time going through each and every single chapter, learning how the early church did it. Because whether or not you've been here for a long time, or you've been at church, or you're just a new believer, whether or not you've been baptized here over the last year and a half, and God's done some amazing things here, and we've been blessed to see some people come to the Lord and get baptized, we all need to be growing in our faith, and it's my prayer that we are all looking a little bit more like Jesus every single day of our lives. And so we want to be like Jesus, right? We want to grow in our faith every single day. And so I started thinking about this, and as we're going through this multiply study, and we're talking about this in the Sunday school class, I started thinking about a sermon that I preached about a year and a half ago, dealing with Acts 2, 42 through 47. Talking about some of the characteristics of the early church. And it said they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to the breaking of bread. They were devoted to fellowship. And they were devoted to prayer. And I started saying and thinking about this, yeah, we want this church, as it evolves, we want this church to continue to be devoted to the teaching, that we should strive to want to come in here, and we should want to hear the Word of God, not only on a Sunday morning, but we would come here and alive at 5. We would want to dig deeper into God's Word, but we would want to be involved into a small group in our Sunday schools, and we've seen those grow, and that's been a blessing. But hopefully we'll start to do some other forms of discipleship and some things that we can help you grow in your faith and your walk, and we can see other people come to know the Lord, that we would be devoted to the teaching of God's Word. But not only that, but we would be devoted to prayer, that we would be a body of believers that is devoted to prayer. Not just on a Wednesday prayer service, but we would be people that would be lifting brothers and sisters up in Christ, that we would be sharing burdens. As I shared 2 weeks ago, that we would be known as people that would come and we would pray with one another, that we would be open with one another to be able to lift each other up. We would be able to share our burdens and know that brothers and sisters would be praying for one another, that would be the trademark of our church. That we would be a praying church, that you would know that somebody is praying for you. But not only that, you would be praying for a movement to happen, that you would pray for not only things to happen in this church, but praying for the people that we have partnered with here in the United States and around the world for God's glory and to see the expansion of His kingdom. Because it's not just this church. This is just a building. We are looking for the kingdom to grow, and that you are praying for that to happen around the world for God's glory. But on a Sunday morning during an invitation time, that you are praying for God to move, that the Holy Spirit to move and work throughout this time. I believe there's people that need to make decisions today, right now, during this hour, that people need to make decisions for the Lord. That maybe you don't have to make a decision, that God really hasn't moved, that you need to respond this morning. But I tell you what, that you need to be praying for brothers and sisters today during this time of invitation later on. That you need to be praying for them, for the boldness in their hearts to come forward and make a decision. Are you going to be praying for that? I pray that we are trademarked, that we are looking to be a church that is bold in the faith, that we are being characterized by being devoted to the teachings, being devoted to prayer, but not only that, and something that's easy for Baptists to do, that we are devoted to the breaking of bread. I mean, we love to eat, right? I mean, we're good with potluck suppers. I mean, it's something that we are good to do in our faith, but that we are good to the fellowship of believers, and that's something that since I've been here, I remember the first Sunday I was here visiting. We were talking about what type of vegetables we were going to have at the fellowship dinner. We had the fellowship dinner this past Friday night. We break bread together after church in the local restaurants around here. We have a live at 5 tonight at CC's at 6 o'clock. We'll be meeting together to have dinner together. There are opportunities for us to break bread together. And I started thinking about this. When we look at having a community together and breaking bread together, that it really is something that we should do, and we have an opportunity to do that. We have this great pavilion out here that we don't use on Sundays near enough. And so if you look in your bulletin, I've actually have a date where we're going to have a community bring your own lunch, eat your own lunch. You hear me? Bring your own lunch, eat your own lunch. After a Sunday service in May, right, the Sunday after Mother's Day, that you come, and if you want to get to know other people in this church, that you can be a part of this community. Maybe you're not feeling as plugged in as some of the people are here. This will be an opportunity that you can come. You don't have to do it just on that Sunday, but you can choose to come, and that's going to be one that we highlight throughout the summer, and we're going to have one Sunday a month that we choose to go out there and as a community of believers that we come and share and fellowship together. Because it's something that we should do. It's a trademark of a church that you should come and you want to break bread together, that you want to be together. And as a pastor, I really love seeing how this church loves to be together. They really love to be with each other. This week I was at a softball game, and it really rejoiced my heart to see several families coming together and supporting one another. It's what a church should be about, to support one another. But you know, when you do that, when you're living life together as a church, when you're living life together with anybody, you get to know them really well, don't you? And that's a good thing. And it's a what? It's a bad thing. How so? You get to know the people. We're messed up, aren't we? We all have issues. We all have things in our lives. You can come in here to church for an hour and keep it together, right? You can be straight for an hour. You don't have to lose your temper for an hour. That's why some of you don't attend Sunday school, because you can't do it for 2 hours. But when you live life together, you see that we all have problems. We all have issues in our lives. And when I talked about 2 weeks ago about us needing to be real with one another, when we need to be sincere, and when you really come before one another and say, this is who I am, isn't that what it's like to be a member of a church? Or shouldn't it be what it's like to be a member of a church, that you can come and lay down your burdens and be real with one another, instead of having to sneak in and sneak out, and you don't want people to really know who you are? Because when I look at this passage this morning, I want you to see the results of people really knowing who you are. Because when I really read this passage and I really see some things that have been happening here with Paul, when I first read this passage and I'm looking at it, I see Paul's testimony and I'm like, I've heard Paul's testimony. Most of us in this room have heard Paul's testimony before. Some of you in this room are hearing it for the first time today, but I hope all of us hear it in a new light today. I hear, as I see, do you see what I see? I hope that when we read this, that we come at it with a different light. When we see that Agrippa says to Paul, you have permission to speak for yourself. And Paul stretches out his hand and made his defense. And he says, I consider myself fortunate that it is before you today, King Agrippa. I'm going to make my defense today against all the accusations of the Jews, especially because you are familiar with all the customs and controversies of the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. Why would Paul consider himself fortunate to come and make a defense for what he is going through? Why would he consider himself fortunate to do it? Because if we look at it, and we look at it in the flesh side, we know Paul's in prison, we know that he's entrapped. In the flesh side, we consider it a privilege, because we're looking for a way to get ourselves out of trouble. Am I correct? Anytime that we can give ourselves a defense. You ever been pulled over by the police? Raise your hand. Anybody? At least you're honest, right? Because we got a police officer in the back that wants to make sure. Have you gone and said, I'm guilty, just write it up? Or you're automatically trying to think of an excuse why you were speeding? Anybody? You know the reason that you're doing it, right? I mean, after the third speeding ticket, I just said, here you go. I lied. I was speeding. Here's the reason. The first two excuses I came up with in the top 10 excuses of why I was speeding didn't work anymore. So you got to be honest. And here we see right here that Paul literally was trying to do the right thing. It says here in the last verses here in verse 32, he says, Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. There's nothing Paul could have gained personally from giving his defense right here. They weren't going to let him go. They weren't going to let him free because he had already appealed to Caesar. He had already appealed to Caesar. So they might have maybe given him a little clout. They might have maybe given him a good recommendation. But he wasn't going to go free this day from giving his defense, from giving his defense to what's going on. So what's the point of him giving his defense this day? Why is he considering it fortunate that he is able to give a defense to King Agrippa this day? It's because he sees an opportunity for someone to come to the Lord. He considers that a privilege as an ambassador in Christ for someone to come to the Lord. That he sees that this person with a Roman background is not going to be persuaded by the Sanhedrin, with somebody with familiar with the customs of the Jews and the controversies of the Jews, to listen to him and hear him out. And he begs to him to hear him patiently. When I see in 2 Corinthians, verse chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. When you look at yourself as an ambassador for Christ, that whatever you're going through in your life, because a lot of you right here in this room are going through stuff in your life, you're going through so much mess that you're just trying to go through the day. But as a child of God, God can use what you're going through for his glory today. He can use your past for his glory today. He can use whatever you've gone through in the past for his glory today and in the future. When I say, do you see what I see? A lot of you have shared your testimonies with me. A lot of you have been in my office. A lot of you have really been transparent with me. And I don't want you to come and share all the stuff. Trust me, Lord, help me. I don't want y'all to share some of the stuff y'all share with me. But I want you to be real with people. I want you to say that I struggle with some things in my past. Matter of fact, I told the praise band this at 9 o'clock this morning. When me and my wife lost our child at 5.5 months pregnant, I didn't know that anybody in the world had gone through that. I didn't know that anybody in the world had lost a child. Never was discussed. No one wants to talk about it. But you know, when we did, how many people came out to woodwork to lift us up, to give us encouragement, and share how God had worked in their lives through that. And that little blessing named Rachel Moore, who keeps us on our toes every single day, is a blessing that God brought us after that. And I believe it's a lot of people sharing their testimony of how God worked through their lives of losing a child that got us to where we were able to put a little more faith in Christ that he was going to use us later on and not to be able to have a child. But if we hold back all these things in our lives and we say that God's not going to be able to use this or whatever I went through in my life, what all this junk in my life that maybe that God can't use this, that's just Satan trying to say that you're not worthy, that all this stuff that's gone through in your life, all this stuff in your life that he can't use you, you're trying to make yourself God. You're not seeing the realizations of this. When you sit here and see Paul and he's saying, my manner of life from my youth spent from the beginning among my own nation in Jerusalem is known by all the Jews. A lot of us are from here. It says they have known for a long time. If they're willing to come and testify that according to the strictest party of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee, and now I stand here on trial because of my hope and the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to attain as they earnestly worship night and day. And for this hope I am accused by Jews, O king. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raised the dead? How many of us people know what you've been in your past? How many of us know what you've been through in your past? How many of your friends know what you've done in your past? And they sit here, and they sit here, as it says in verse 9, I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison, I actually thought this was a good idea. For some reason, when we're going through a sinful lifestyle, said after receiving authority from the chief priests, I actually got permission for people to do this. For some reason, people thought this was a good idea. I put to death, I cast my votes against them, and I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme in a raging fury against them. I persecuted them even to foreign cities. See, all this stuff, people know about you. People know all those things about you. They knew what you were. They knew everything about what you were. And Paul was sitting there saying, I was living a happy life. This is what I was doing. This was the life that I was living, and I was pleased with. As a matter of fact, in connection with all this, in verse 12, it says, I journeyed to Damascus. I was living my life thinking I was actually doing good. I thought I was actually serving God. At midday, I actually ran face to face with my sins. I had to make a decision that day. I wasn't planning on it. My life was fine. You know what I'm saying? Remember the day you came to Christ, a lot of you in this room? You remember the day that you came face to face with your sins and you had to make a decision? The day that you had to get real and whether or not you were going to continue to live your life of sins or whether or not you were going to turn over your life and give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the life that I'm talking about? You know the life before you came to the Lord? Paul sat there, and this day he was just going happy as can be. He was living his life. I was fine, man. I was living a life. I was telling them at 9 o'clock, I said, very thankful. More than you can ever know, students, that there was no social media when I was your age, for the things that I did that would be posted on Facebook or Twitter. But praise be to God, he's a forgiving God, that he forgives us of our trespasses. Isaiah 1:18, although your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And when Paul says, I came here, and those journeyed with me, and I fall to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I said, Lord, who are you? He says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you this purpose, to point you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me, and those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes. See this? To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Listen to verse 19. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient in the heavenly vision. I was not disobedient in the heavenly vision. See, a lot of us, we come face to face with our sins, and we have to make a decision whether or not we're going to keep on running. There's people here today that really, you don't know Jesus Christ. You think you have. You might have said a few words in your life, but you really haven't made him Lord of your life. You haven't made him master of your life. You really haven't repented of your sins. You really haven't laid him at the cross and says, I want to follow you, Jesus Christ. I want to really turn from my life of sins, and I want to give this over to you. I want to start a new life today. I want to give you that opportunity today. I want to share with you from the gospel of Jesus Christ, to turn your life over to Jesus today, to stop running, to stop running and serving Satan and start serving the Lord Jesus Christ today. You sit here and you read what the scripture says, and Paul says, you know, this is what the Lord wanted me to do. He wants me to sin. He wants me to serve the Gentiles. He wants me to open their eyes. And you know how many friends that you have that need to have their eyes open to this day? How many friends can you count on in your hands that need to see and have their eyes open to the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ? How many friends are you praying for on a daily basis? Are you praying for your friends on a daily basis? Because a lot of them probably don't think that it was possible that you would come to the Lord. They're probably sitting there still asking, is your faith real? Is this a show? Or is this really something happening in your life? And they want to know, is this real, what's going on inside of you? And when Paul says in verse 20, I declared first to those in Damascus, I accepted. I turned my life over to Jesus, and I started sharing in Jerusalem and throughout all the region, because when you turn your life over, it is a complete change. And he sat there and said to Judea and all to the Gentiles, and that they should repent and turn to God and put your faith into action. You are not saved by works. You are saved to do works, performing deeds and competing with repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. And I love, and it says, to this day I've had help that comes from God. And I stand here testifying both to small and to great. It doesn't matter that every person needs to hear about salvation that is available through Jesus Christ. It said that the Christ must suffer. By being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim the light both to our people and to the Gentiles. And seeing this, Festus being convicted by his own spirit, being convicted, says, Paul, you're out of your mind. And Paul says, I am not out of my mind. I speak the truth. For the king knows about these things, speaking boldly. For I'm persuaded that none of these things have escaped his notice, for he has not been done in the corner. Christianity has not been done in a corner. Christianity has been out in the public. The things that Jesus has done has been out in the public. Jesus Christ is for real. And when he says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? And you can actually picture him. He says, I know you believe. I know you believe the prophets. And the king with a smirk on his face and says, in a short time, do you persuade me to be a Christian? And he looks at him, and Paul says, whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for the chains. But church, you are free. You are free to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone who will hear. Will you be obedient? Will you share? Will you be bold? Do you have that much faith? Because your testimony is powerful. Matter of fact, your testimony is unique. You're the only person with your testimony of how you came to the Lord. Would you be obedient and share it with people? I love hearing people's testimonies. If you never heard my testimony, I'll be happy to stay here after church and share my testimony. And if you don't want to share your testimony with people, you need to check your salvation. Because it's a glorious thing how the Lord works in each and every person's life for his glory. And today, in this time of invitation, if you've never made that decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let today be the day of salvation. To turn from your life of sins, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a hard day when you realize that you've lived a life of sin and you need to turn your life over to the Lord. But it's a wonderful, wonderful day that you'll never, ever, ever regret. But the biggest regret in your life is to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and turn away from it, to be disobedient from the call that is on your life. What's it going to be today? What decision do you need to make? Do you need to join this church? Do you need to rededicate your life to Christ? Maybe you need to come and you need to be transparent. You need to lay your sins down to the altar. You need to be lifted up today. You got something going on in your life that you just need to be prayed for. You need a brother or sister in Christ. It doesn't have to be me. You just need somebody to pray for you. I don't know what it is at this time of invitation, but I pray that we are real with one another about what's going on in our hearts. and our lives for God's glory. That we are a church that is truly transparent, that we are devoted to the Word of God, that we're devoted for praying one another, and that we are a community of believers, that we are growing together for God's glory, and that when you left here today, that you feel like you're growing to be a little bit more like Jesus than when you walked in here. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to come and share your word today. Lord, as we look at Paul's testimony and see what a wonderful, wonderful testimony it was, we realize that each of us have a unique story to tell. Each of us have a story about how you worked in our lives, the Holy Spirit came in our lives, and Lord, we all had a day. It might have been a process, but we had the Spirit working in our lives when we knew that we had to stop living a life that we were living. That we needed to start cleaning up the junk in our lives and start living our life for you. Lord, I'm thankful for the forgiveness of sins. I'm thankful that you're just and able to forgive, that no one has done something so horrible that you're not able to forgive because you are God. When you look at the scripture and it says, how can you doubt? How can you doubt? You're God. So Lord, we ask right now, Lord, we just ask for the Holy Spirit just to work throughout this room and the people that need to make decisions today for your glory, that you are just lifted up high. Lord, we pray that you are glorified through everything that was said and done today. In Jesus' holy and precious name, we praise you. Amen.